Special Committee's failure to agree on a permanent ceasefire is costing thousands of lives. The truce is in place, with some Israeli violations, of course, but people in Gaza are still dying due to diseases, lack of medical care, etc., not to mention some 7,000 still under rubble. Now, welcome to the Spotlight. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi, and these are our guests in this episode of the Spotlight. Khaled Muammar, activist and commentator in Toronto. Also with us is Daniel Shaw, academic and political commentator in New York.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Welcome to the show, gentlemen. Beginning with Khaled, the WHO's described the collapse of Al-Shafa Hospital in northern Gaza as a tragedy. It's voiced concerns about the detention of some of its medical staff by Israeli forces. So I want to ask you, on what basis has Israel hit hospitals directly and arrested medical staff?
Well, what we should understand is that there are about 35 hospitals in Gaza, which are not only dealing with patients, but also sheltering about 120,000 internally displaced Palestinians who were forced to move because their homes were destroyed or Israel forced them to leave. And now they are being forced to leave the hospitals, which shows that Israel's intention is ultimately to ethnically cleanse not only northern Gaza by moving people into the southern part of Gaza, but also to finally attempt to ethnically cleanse even the people in southern Gaza, because it's being bombarded constantly. The hospitals there are also targeted. And at present, 27 of these 35 hospitals in Gaza are damaged and not operating. So you can see people who are sick or people who will become sick because of the contaminated water and other diseases which are spreading, the white phosphorus which caused injuries. All of these people will find no place to be treated, and they are being pushed further into the southern part of Gaza. And Israel hopes that in the end, Egypt might open the borders and allow them into Sinai, even though Egypt has said clearly, we will not allow this.
But the Palestinians are not going there either.
Yeah. This is the plan.
All right. Daniel, you know, hospitals, especially those in the northern part of Gaza, are being ignored fuel. And when I talk to our correspondent there on the ground, he says fuel here means fuel equals life. You know, because, you know, medical equipment, machines, they all run on electricity, and they don't have electricity. They use generators. Generators run on fuel. And this truce is in place. It's got extended for 2 days. So aid is trickling in, a drop in the ocean, of course. But fuel, hospitals are being ignored with fuel. How come?
Because the Israeli plan from the beginning, for the past 75 years and for the past 53 days in particular, has been the complete annihilation of life in Gaza. They want to push all Palestinians into the Sinai Peninsula. They want to continue to displace. This is a 75-year project of of dispossession, of displacement. These are genocidal intentions, and that's why shame on CNN and shame on Fox News and the full gamut of media outlets in the mainstream here in the West who have continued to vilify hospitals. And what's extremely sad is that much of the medical staff, as they receive hundreds and hundreds and thousands of children and civilians who need help, the medical staff is checking if it's their families. And how many medical workers, at this point, over 105 UN workers have been killed in Gaza, and over 53 journalists. So we can see that the Israeli regime has absolutely no respect for life.
Exactly. So, Khaled, how could this humanitarian catastrophe, in the real sense of the word, caused in Gaza be compensated? Is the damage done reparable in any way?
Well, I mean, if we're talking about structures which were destroyed, they can be fixed with money if the money comes from certain rich Arab countries and the United Nations. But, you know, the lives of all these people, especially the children who were traumatized, you know, you have to remember many of them, about 625,000 children, have not been going to school for the last 7 weeks. Many of them are injured. They have lost their parents. Some of them are sick. And this trauma that they went through, it's going to take a long time to overcome that and lead a normal life. So this is a terrible humanitarian crime. And as the Undersecretary General of the United Nations for Humanitarian Affairs said, Martin Griffiths, he said, never in his life, and he's been working with the United Nations since the time of Cambodia, he said, I've never seen so much injustice and suffering and carnage. And that has to stop. And even if it stopped now, you still have the problem of fixing these human souls which were affected, especially the children.
Yeah, truly. Daniel, another damage done to Gaza during this recent Israeli war, $1.6 million of losses a day in Gaza's agricultural produce. You know, this is a result of a halt in production due to the war on Gaza. And, you know, even this is not possible because of the contamination that Khaled also mentioned, as UN was also warning about. So they cannot have their produce maybe for years. So this is a big blow again to their economy.
This is the same policy that the U.S. government used for 13 genocidal years from 1962 to 1975 against the Vietnamese people. The plan of genocide is a total plan in the sense that there's an economic blockade. It's an all-out assault on survival in Gaza to attack agriculture. The little bit of agriculture that still existed, because most of us here in the West have no sense that Gaza had already been through, is just emerging from 2 decades of full-scale Israeli and U.S. Blockade. There's only 2 ways in and out of Gaza, which are completely monitored and patrolled by the IDF, by the forces of apartheid and occupation. And that's why here in the West, no one could ever have a sense that October 7th, as tragic as it was, represented a massive prison break of 2.3 million human beings that have been treated in apartheid-like conditions, that have been ethnically cleansed now for 75 years. And of course, it was an act of resistance, but because of the lack of education and context here in the West, we really don't have a sense of what's been transpiring in the past 53 days and 75 years.
Right. And Khaled, you know, there are many more problems caused by the war in Gaza. You know, we mentioned some of them. There are some other, like unexploded ordnance. You know, they're unexploded and they are a threat to everybody, especially kids. The sewage system is in tatters. There's contamination in water, as you also mentioned. Diseases are spreading. So, what does it take to make up for all this destruction and loss of life?
it's going to take an insurmountable amount of help from the international community. And unfortunately, we cannot count on countries which are supporting Israel, like the United States and even some European countries and Canada, because the damage that was done to the infrastructure, to the hospitals, the schools, the clinics, all of that is going to take lots of time and effort. And we are not sure at this moment who's going to step in and make up for that. And it's going to take a long time for this to take place. So this is really a crisis, not only for Gaza, it's a crisis for humanity, that this was allowed to take, to go on for 50 days without any interruption, even though the United Nations was calling for a ceasefire from the start, even though the public in many of these countries who supported Israel, like Canada, United States, the UK, the public was calling for a ceasefire, but the politicians seemed to listen to another master. And this is what is so criminal, you know, about this whole situation, is that it was allowed to last that long. And the victims will be the population of Gaza. The same thing happened, by the way, in 1948, and I suffered that. I was living in Haifa City at that time. It had a population of 70,000 Palestinian Arabs. Only 2,000 remained after the creation of Israel. Right. We ended up as refugee camps, and we suffered. And some of us are still suffering in refugee camps. Right. I was lucky enough to find my way to Canada. But, you know, we have two, three generations who have suffered from the catastrophe of 1948. And the same thing will happen for the people of Gaza. Two or three generations will suffer until the cause, the root cause of all the violence is ended, which is an apartheid settler colonial regime, which believes that they are supremacists, the same way that the white Afrikaners believed in South Africa. And that came to an end when sanctions were imposed on apartheid South Africa and the apartheid regime was dismantled. And this is the only solution to the crisis in Palestine.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Now, Daniel, U.S. and Israeli spy chiefs are in Doha, Qatar. They're there for talks on extending the so-called humanitarian pause. You know, we had the first initial one 4 days, and then yesterday it got extended for 2 days. So Wednesday it will come to an end. So what do you expect to happen next?
There's no sign within the ruling summits of the United States, when one looks at the mouthpieces of the ruling class, when one read CNN and the New York Times, there's small murmurs of humanitarian concern, but the U.S. intelligence cabal and the Pentagon and the State Department and the true ruling class and the foreign policy establishment continue to control all of the information Plastered across the front pages of the news are just horrific stories of what the Israelis have been through. So the ongoing dehumanization of the Palestinians continues. Now you have the BRICS 11 who have formed the Gaza Contact Group. Xi Jinping and other world leaders have said there has to be a two-state solution. But the problem is that this truly international community, because we can't say that the U.S., Canada, and the other neocolonial powers, they are the antithesis of a community and they have nothing to do with internationalism. But the BRICS 11, we have to understand that Palestine can only imagine reparations and true rebuilding in justice and a return to the 1948 land that was stolen from them within the context of a multipolar world with China and Russia and South Africa and Brazil and India, and these countries truly have a say along with the Muslim countries. Right now, the powers that be have turned their back on Gaza, leaving 2.3 million people to survive on their own, including 1.1 million children. But certainly, yes, reparations will be in order, directly connected to the rise of multipolarity throughout the world.
Okay. Khaled, what's the prospect of a lasting ceasefire? That's what Palestinians and many others asking for, even an end to the Israeli aggression occupation against Palestinians. You know, today the Palestinian envoy to the UN said that Tel Aviv wants us to either surrender and subjugate or die.
Well, you know, the many Israeli officials have been stating over the last few days that the aim is to really get rid of all these human animals. And they mean by that not only Hamas, they mean the Palestinian population. Gaza, because of this big concentration of 2 million people who have risen up and resisted this inhumane siege which has been going on since 2006, had to be taught a lesson, because if they are not taught the lesson, then the people in the West Bank and in Israel proper, the Palestinians in Israel proper, would then demand their freedom, equality, and justice, including the right of return of refugees. However, as long as the United States is backing this apartheid, genocidal regime, and they have just mentioned recently that they're going to resupply Israel with bombing material. And by the way, these bombs, 2,000-pound bombs, have never been used before in any residential neighborhood before. And they are the cause of this huge damage, which will take a very long time to fix. The Americans still insist on supplying Israel, which means they are encouraging the government of Israel to continue in its mission, which they have stated publicly, that they will eliminate anybody in Gaza who poses a threat to them. And by that, they mean actually any Palestinian. The presence of Palestinians will always be a threat to Israel's hegemony and racism, which they have been practicing for the last 75 years. So this is going to be a tough struggle, especially since the backing from Arab countries and Muslim countries has only been verbal, but there's really no practical way or action undertaken so far to support the resistance and the people of Gaza.
Now, Daniel, the Iranian foreign minister has sent letters to the ICC urging a prompt investigation and prosecution of Israeli war criminals. What kind of performance do you expect of this international tribunal? Would it prove to sit on the fence, be impartial and independent, and resist all the pressure?
Very, very difficult. I think that would be wishful thinking again in this era dominated by U.S. unipolarity, U.S. dominant hegemony throughout the world. The ICC, the United Nations, these things have existed as fig leaves. They're small international camouflages, so the U.S. can continue to try to dominate throughout the world. I think it's really only the world's people that can stop this genocide in motion. We see massive, massive resistance across the world, civil disobedience led by our Jewish sisters and brothers here in the United States, and of course, Palestinian resistance. We're doing everything we can, but we have a U.S. public that has been exposed to lies, lies that equate the Palestinians with terrorism for 75 years. So it's really an unequal informational war as well. It's important to highlight that the South Africans have invoked the Geneva Convention along with other governments. But it's important to say that Israel is a fascist state. In this country where they claim to care about racism and xenophobia, Israel has one type of quote-unquote democracy for its Jewish citizens, and then the Palestinians can't even be called second or third class citizens. They've been defined and treated as subhuman now for 75 years. And how horrific that it takes a near genocide or a genocide in motion to wake up the U.S. population to the reality of right. Israeli fascism.
Okay, and of course they're waking up. You see the rallies there. Okay, thank you so much, gentlemen, for the contribution. Khaled Mamer, activist and commentator in Toronto. Daniel Shaw, academic and political commentator in New York.
Thank you.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى جيل الفرج.
السلام عليكم, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really, really happy that I have Ali Nasir, Brother Ali Nasir, Brother Hussein Rohullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Fawad Haider. Once again, I really welcome you all. Salamun alaikum, brothers, and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
How are you, Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good, alhamdulillah. Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Fawad?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So, everyone is fine, alhamdulillah, and ready to start our today's lesson. Inshallah, today we'll talk about Ayah 73rd. From Surah Al-An'am on page 136. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, hope you have your Quran. Turn to page 136, Ayah 73 of Surah Al-An'am. Let's listen everyone to the recitation first.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa huwa alladhi khalaqas samawati wal arda bil haqq. وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ كُنْ فَيَكُونُ قَوْلُهُ الْحَقُّ وَلَهُ الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ.
Nice recitation, mashallah. Let's see what Allah Almighty says in Ayah 73rd of Surah Al-An'am, a beautiful ayah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah Almighty says in this ayah, wa huwa alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal arda bil haqq. It is He who created the heavens and the earth with reason. he refers to Allah Almighty. وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. And the day he says to something, be, it is. وَلَهُ الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ. His word, قَوْلُهُ الْحَقِّ. I forgot this one. قَوْلُهُ الْحَقِّ. His word is the truth. وَلَهُ الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ. And to him belongs all sovereignty and all power on the day when the trumpet will be blown. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. Knower of the sensible and the unseen. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. He is the all-wise and the all-aware. So this ayah talks about many instances of Tawheed. Alright? Tawheed in creation. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Tawheed in, we can say, power. Okay? Power. And also Tawheed in wisdom, tawheed in also knowledge, okay? About the attributes of Allah Almighty. Basically, tawheed means you believe in one God. And now, not only believing there is one God, but also believing in His attributes, in His reality. This one God is the all-powerful. This one God is the all-wise. This one God is the all-knowledgeable. This one God is the all-hearing. This one God is the all-seeing, okay? The all-forgiving, the all-merciful. So, all the beautiful attributes you can count, you can understand, they belong to Allah Almighty. And Allah Almighty is the source of this. Okay? So here also some of the attributes are mentioned. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ. Not only Muslims, not only believers to Allah Almighty believe in this, that Allah Almighty is the one who has created the earth and the skies or the heaven. But also the pagans, the infidels, the disbelievers in the early time of Islam, when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to ask them, okay, that why don't you believe? They were saying, we don't believe. We believe in these gods, okay? We believe, we worship these gods, the idols or the statues, okay? Asnam, okay? Yes. But in reality, they believed in God. Huh? لَإِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If you ask them, who has created the sky, the heavens, and the earth? What do they say? لَيَقُولَنَّ اللَّهُ. They will say, Allah has created. So why are you worshipping these idols? They would say, because this is sensible. We don't see God, we don't hear Him, that's why we worship this, and we ask this, Asnam, to help us. Okay? As a kind of sensible God. Yeah? Because the God that we believe in reality, He is unseen from us. We can't see Him. We don't have access to Him. How is it possible? Your Lord, you don't have access to Him? This is impossible, yes? Tawheed says, your Lord is accessible. Your Lord is there. Everywhere. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to you, nearer to you, like nearer than your vein, the vein in your throat, your neck. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. So our Lord is this, our belief is this, that Allah Almighty is accessible. Of course, you can see because He is not a body like human body. You could, physical body He doesn't have, okay? Alright? We have the reasons why He doesn't have physical body, why you can't touch Him. Huh? There are reasons because physical body needs to be limited. While Allah Almighty... It's not limited. Unlimited. For example, this mobile phone, when you see, this is limited. How much size does it have? For example, say 12 centimeters height, the height, okay? 12 centimeters, okay? And the weight, for example, 6 centimeters. So tell me the size of Allah Almighty. Can you say? No. That's why he doesn't have physical body. Because physical body requires to be limited, brings limitation, okay? While Allah Almighty is not limited, he is unlimited. So, in the next part of this ayah, Allah says, وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. Look, Allah Almighty, if he intends something, to create something, it's created. His intention is the creation itself. When Allah says, كُنْ بِ, should be created, that thing is created.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran?
الله حمدتني غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات.
Be with, let's recite the Quran.
غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي.
Guys, refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, for more information. It's time to mention some Tajweed rules, and inshallah, we'll end our class soon. Recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farj.
Wa huwa alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal arda bil haqq. Heavy letters really matter. Khalaqa, arda. Heavy letters, pronounce them heavily. حق قلقلة. وهو الذي ذال أرض طاد خا. The pronunciations, remember them. بالحق. So, here we have a word called سلا on the top of بالحق. You see that. And also down there, next in the next part of the ayah, you have a baby jim on the top of the words. فيكون. You have a jim. And قوله الحق, you have a jim, a baby jim. Like this baby jim, okay? Tiny jim, you have sila. Hassan will explain these two different stopping signs. Hassan, what does sila tell us?
This sila tells us that it's better to continue here, like join the first letter with the second letter.
Good. The words before to the words after.
Yes.
Better to and join. But you can stop.
Huh? Yes, you can
make
stop.
A pause. Okay, next, Jim.
And this Jim tells us that it's optional to pause or to continue here.
Good job. Jim tells you optional to stop, to make a pause, or continue reading. Good job. Thank you. So, وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. The noon and the word kun should be hidden. كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. كُنْ, hide the sound of it. قَوْلُهُ الْحَقُّ وَلَهُ الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ. Again, hide the sound of it. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورُ. When you stop, صُور, رَا must be pronounced?
Heavy.
صُور. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. غَيْبِ. وهو الحكيم الخبير. خبير. Ra with light sound here because it has a kasra sound before. So these are the rules, very simple, not difficult. I will be reciting this ayah. Make sure inshallah you repeat after me. All right?
Yes.
Dear listeners, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us up to this time, the last part of our class, the recitation. Let's practice. Listen and repeat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ
وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ
وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ كُن فَيَكُونُ
وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ كُن فَيَكُونُ.
You can make a pause or you can continue. Next, the next stopping sign, the jim, we'll skip it. Okay, we'll continue.
قوله الحق وله الملك يوم ينفخ في الصور قوله الحق وله الملك يوم ينفخ في الصور
عالم الغيب والشهادة
عالم الغيب والشهادة
عالم الغيب والشهادة
عالم الغيب والشهادة
وهو الحكيم الخبير
وهو الحكيم الخبير
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. Allah bless you. Thank you so much for being with us. I hope you stay with Arab English Radio in the coming sessions, inshallah, every day the same time. Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir and Fawad. Thank you so much. Thanks to Arab English Radio, Sevilla International School. That's all from us for today. Wassalamu alaikum. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Ruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahan Abbott, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Jamil, 11 years of age. Salma, 16. Jawan, 2. Muhammad, 13. These are the names of just four Palestinian children who have been slaughtered in Gaza since Israel started bombing the besieged territory on October 7. Their names, together with those of other 5,000 deceased Palestinian boys and girls, were placed on makeshift tombstones and displayed in Esquilino Square in the Italian capital to remember all children killed during Israel's ongoing brutal military assault on Gaza. The initiative, dubbed Stop Slaughtering Children in Gaza, was carried out by AOI, an association of NGOs operating in the international solidarity and cooperation sector, representatives of trade unions and other civil society organizations, together with members of Italy's Palestinian community, attended the demonstration.
Non si può essere parte delle Nazioni Unite.
You cannot be a member of the United Nations, signing accords and voting resolutions that are enforced only if they suit specific interests. This way, the credibility of the institutions is badly damaged.
Palestinian authorities have reported that more than 6,500 minors have been killed in Israeli airstrikes on the Gaza Strip so far. Earlier this month, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned that Gaza was becoming a graveyard for children, with hundreds of girls and boys killed or injured every day. As 1.6 million Gazans have been displaced from their homes, many forced to move to the south of the Strip, there are concerns that a large number of them may end up in refugee camps.
You know the resilience of the Palestinian people. We will not leave our land. This is our land. This is our right. This was very clear from our people in Gaza. They prefer to live, you know, on their destroyed houses rather than to live outside of Gaza.
Some at the demonstration said an increasing number of people in Italy are choosing to stand with the Palestinians despite the mainstream media coverage of the conflict being completely biased in favor of Israel.
I have stopped following the Western media outlets for quite some time. They should be ashamed. We have the right to be informed honestly and truthfully. Give us the truth, and citizens will then choose which side to stand for. I'm disgusted. These media are all complicit in the mass slaughtering of Palestinians.
Hundreds of demonstrations in solidarity with Palestine have been held in cities and towns across Italy since the start of the war in Gaza over 8 weeks ago. Pro-Palestine rallies were held in Forlì, Ravenna, Cremona, Asti, Reggio Emilia, Genoa and Piacenza last weekend alone. Max Civili, Rome.
Scholars and thinkers have come together in a meeting at Tehran University to review a 2015 letter sent by Iran's leader to the youth in Europe and the United States. The meeting discussed how the leader's vision is finally being materialized in 2023. In the letter written in January of 2015, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei asked young people in the U.S. and Europe to attain first-hand knowledge of Islam. Ayatollah Khamenei asked youngsters not to allow the states to hypocritically introduce their own recruited terrorists as representatives of Islam. He also points out that with the mass development of social media, people can go beyond their geographical borders and try to view different cultures and religions objectively. Such pieces of advice from the leader have once again been brought to attention as the youth around the globe are showing interest in Islam after witnessing the resistance and faith of the Palestinian people in the face of the Israeli aggression against the besieged Gaza Strip.
Instead of money and materialistic possessions, the youth in Western nations can grab onto a more soothing and inclusive philosophy by forming affiliations with Islam.
Some other scholars call the leader's letter a fatherly address, aiming to uproot the xenophobia that oppressive states usually spread in a bid to justify their violence towards the people of a certain land or ethnicity.
The fact is that these letters were seeds that was put on the ground for it to grow and to sort of bring liberation and knowledge and awareness an awakening right across the world, especially with the children, with the youngsters, and youngsters in particular, because they are the future. The fact of the matter is that what has happened in the last month and a half since 7th of October reinforced and indeed brought into practice what the letter was trying to achieve. The awakening of people about the fact that Palestinians are the most oppressed and being deliberately massacred in front of our eyes, day in, day out.
Since October 7th, various Western media outlets have tried to justify Israeli crimes in Gaza. Accordingly, they have largely attempted to ignore the vast distress brought upon the 2.3 million people in Gaza in recent weeks. Young people, however, have been taking to the streets in support of Palestine in large numbers after finding out about Israeli atrocities through social media. One of the main goals behind the letter by the leader of the Islamic Revolution to the Western youth was to bypass Western media that do not present facts to their audience, society, as well as young people in Europe and the United States. Salman Kujuri, Tehran.
Pro-Palestinian protesters filled the streets of the Yemeni capital to praise the success of the Palestinian resistance movement and condemn the Israeli regime. Protesters hailed resistance efforts, which they say delivered a humiliating defeat to the Israeli army. Yemenis said they will continue to fight alongside the Palestinians until victory.
We tell the Zionists and the Americans that the Yemeni people who just came out of an eight-year battle and a strangling blockade, that we have put all this aside and are stepping forward to stand with our Palestinian brothers and the Palestinian cause, because it is our main cause. We tell the Palestinians, you are not alone.
The demonstration also praised the Yemeni army's resilience in taking meaningful military actions, which pressured the Israeli regime to accept a ceasefire. Yemeni operations consisted of launching a series of drone and ballistic missiles to occupied Palestine and the latest capture of the Israeli-linked ship in the Red Sea.
We will close Bab al-Mandeb and we will seize the Israeli and American ships until they stop the aggression on our Palestinian brothers and the resistance in Gaza. We will strike with missiles and the drones. Our missiles will even target the Zionists inside Gaza so that we can abolish the Israeli entity.
We are here to support our armed forces and the naval and air force and all of their military efforts, including the striking of a U.S. spy drone. We also praise the latest operation, which captured an Israeli ship in the Red Sea. This was a huge blow to the Zionists.
Despite the announcement of a ceasefire agreement in Palestine, the Yemeni army says it will continue its monitoring of the Red Sea to prevent or capture any ships linked to the Israeli regime. The Palestinian resistance has praised the Yemeni army's stance in supporting Palestinians and for taking decisive military actions against the Israeli regime. The Yemeni armed forces spokesperson has also reiterated that attacks against the Israeli entity will continue until the genocide ends. Yusuf Maudi, Sana'a.
In a remarkable display of unity and solidarity, the Palestine Freedom March took place in the heart of Lahore, just a few miles from the U.S. consulate. The proximity of the march to the U.S. consulate added significance to it, as the rally sought to convey message not only to the international community, but specifically to the United States, a key supporter of Israel in the war on Gaza.
Israel ek fascist.
The whole world now understands that Israel is a fascist regime that has occupied Palestinian territories. Israel sheds the blood of Palestinians to continue its existence in the world. The Israeli policy for oppression has been defeated now. These worldwide protests indicate that the concept of peace has won and the narrative of oppressors has been defeated.
The convergence of the people from different backgrounds symbolized a shared commitment to the Palestinian cause underscoring the gravity of the situation in the besieged Gaza Strip.
People around the world, including Pakistanis, are on the streets and condemning the U.S. and its illegitimate child Israel for their actions in Gaza. Due to increasing public resentment, the U.S. and Israel are under tremendous public pressure, and the real face of the Zionist regime has been exposed in the international community. No oppressor can resist this public pressure anymore.
The event not only highlighted the immediate concern for Gaza, but also exemplified the broader call for justice and peace in the region.
The Palestine issue is a matter of honor for the Muslim community now. The events of Karbala are being repeated in Gaza. They are killing men, women, and children, considering Palestinians to be alone. But Israel and the U.S. should not forget that they are not alone. The whole of humanity stands with the people of Palestine.
United in their demand for peace and justice, the participants of Palestine Freedom March fervently called for a lasting ceasefire in Gaza.
The ongoing protest rallies, boycott of pro-Israeli products, and systematic fundraising initiatives are the examples of how deeply the Pakistani society is committed to helping Palestinian people who are confronting Israeli aggression in Gaza. Nasik Azmi, Lahore.
A group of Italian journalists, representatives of media unions and organizations, gathered at the Roman Press Association in Rome to discuss how the ongoing conflict in the Gaza Strip has been biasedly covered by the media so far. The initiative was organized by the No Gag Network, a group that advocates for freedom of expression in Italy, as Palestinian and international journalists trapped in the coastal territory continue to be slaughtered by the Israeli occupation forces.
As of today, we don't know if these journalists have been executed or they have been killed in their homes together with their beloved ones during the Israeli bombardments. And I ask you, would that make any difference? It is horrific anyway.
During the meeting, journalists agreed that a war needs field reporting, condemning Israel's refusal to heed calls to allow independent reporters to access Gaza for direct testimony. Since October 9, the 2.3 million residents of Gaza have been experiencing a devastating near-complete communications blackout.
Killing a journalist is a war crime, and we call on the International Criminal Court to proceed with the examination into what's happening in Gaza.
The Italian journalists also relaunched a petition already signed by 200 French, Palestinian and Lebanese journalists demanding access to Gaza and the protection of journalists covering the Israeli onslaught on the Strip.
La libertà d'informazione viene seppellita sotto le macerie.
Freedom of expression has been buried under Gaza's rubble. Only journalists embedded with the IOF are in Gaza, operating under the observation of Israeli commanders in the field.
Speaking of freedom of expression, the future of journalism in Italy looks bleak. There has been a big question mark over the credibility of Italian media outlets in recent years, as the sharp divide between the mainstream media and a large chunk of public opinion has been growing deeper.
The divide is getting deeper and deeper. Much of the public opinion does not follow mainstream TVs and newspapers anymore. They have totally lost trust in them. And it is understandable. The media keeps saying the conflict in Gaza started on October 7.
Meanwhile, Italy's Foreign Minister Antonio Tajani has urged Israel to use the four-day ceasefire in Gaza to carefully consider what the international perception is of its offensive against the Strip. Max Civili, Rome.
The freed Palestinian prisoners and their families here in the occupied territories were filled with mixed emotions as 39 released women and minors found relief from the brutality of Israeli jails as part of a prisoner exchange agreement with Hamas. 39 is not just a number, as each of the freed Palestinians has a different story to tell after languishing for months in Israeli jails, where thousands of Palestinian freedom fighters are still being held.
Inshallah, all the prisoners will be released. We have faith in Allah and the resistance. We didn't have a radio or television to know what was going on outside the prisons. We knew about the ceasefire and the deal when Israeli jailers raided our cells and started to bring out prisoners. They grabbed us by our clothes and dragged us away from the cells.
The moment we knew that the resistance had detained Israelis, I called my mom on that day. And she told me that resistance fighters had detained Israelis and that they were shelling the settlements. All female inmates started to scream for joy. Then the soldiers broke into our cells and attacked and beat us. And since then, the majority of us had been held in solitary confinement and all of our belongings had been seized. We do not have enough food or water. And we were literally being mistreated. When we were informed that there was a swap deal, we were happy but sad at the same time because of the martyrs in Gaza. We are proud of Gaza and the resistance, and may God bless the martyrs.
13 Israeli captives were released by Hamas as part of the swap deal. Israel has agreed to release 150 Palestinian women and children prisoners in exchange for Hamas releasing 50 of the women and children taken captive during the Al-Aqsa flood operation on the 7th of October. The prisoner exchange takes place during the four-day truce in the Gaza Strip, and that's why this relief is mixed with sadness as Palestinians fear the resumption of Israeli hostilities in Gaza after the ceasefire expires. The swap deal, however, is not the end of the story, as families of other prisoners hope all their loved ones will be freed soon.
What Hamas did, she make it this time with force. Even we lost a lot of blood. My people, I passed away. They killed hospitals, they killed people, they killed everywhere. But we still believe that this is our right and we'll take our freedom, whatever will happen. We will give this and we will give more years. Kamal Nail for him is 44 years in prison. His age now is 66. And we have Kamal Suher Burkhouti, she's in prison too, which is her age for 64. We believe this is the first step. And inshallah, we hope with the people, with their strongest, which they are, we will have the next step, which is liberate of all Palestine.
Before October 7, there were about 5,200 Palestinians in Israeli jails. However, in the last few weeks, the number of Palestinian inmates skyrocketed as another 3,000 were detained. The release of those Palestinian prisoners from Israeli jails gives a glimmer of hope for thousands of detainees and their families that the resistance will keep its promise to release all prisoners. Mona Qandil, Occupy Ramallah.
A peaceful march for peace. As the bombs temporarily stop falling from the sky above Gaza, hundreds of thousands of pro-Palestine demonstrators of all faiths are back to the streets of the British capital, many traveling from other parts of the UK, united in their demands.
We need to cease fire. We need to end the siege in Gaza, we need to end the occupation and free Palestine.
A long-term solution is an immediate ceasefire, longer-term ceasefire. It is an end to the system of apartheid. It is an end to the occupation. It is an end to the oppression and systematic oppression that has been going on for the last 75 years.
Demands is obviously that Israel stops this genocide, that they allow the people to go back to their homes in Gaza, that they stop pushing them out towards the deserts. And
more than 1,500 police officers were on duty distributing leaflets warning demonstrators against the use of, quote, racist abuse and promoting terrorism, raising questions about proportionality.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on the police being put on them by the government to put a stamp down on these protests. You know, these protests are accused of being anti-Semitic, but really, these are just ordinary workers who can understand what's happening, who can see through the establishment lies, the propaganda.
What they're also demanding is that the UK government stop arming the Israeli regime and withdraw its diplomatic cover for it.
Western governments have suffered major reputational damage for their continued support for the Israeli regime's crimes against Palestinians. and the people here are highlighting Western double standards with regard to the protection of civilians in different conflicts.